Okay, so healing is our topic this morning, and it's a bit of a hot topic at the moment, I think. In Marlow, just before the summer, I was asked to deliver a talk on Jesus the Healer, and this morning is based on that, so if you're a Marlow person, try to feel fresh about it. And only last Sunday, Terry Murphy was talking to us in Maidenhead about living like Jesus with supernatural power. And at the end of this month, as Colin's already said, there's going to be the Ignite Healing Rooms and healing conference, and the details are there for you to have a look at. And you know what? As a church, I just believe that this is a season for us to explore this subject again from all kinds of different angles, and just to really allow Holy Spirit to change our thinking, build our faith in this area. Do you know, it's a time to wrestle again with some of those hard questions and really push into all that God has for us as a church. And do you know, I'm just convinced that River Church can be a place that is a real well of healing for our communities. I believe that's part of our calling as River Church. At Christmas last year, a gentleman turned up on our doorstep who's somebody who did an Alpha course in River quite a few years ago and eventually made his home in a local Anglican church. He turned up on our doorstep just after Christmas and said, he's in his 50s, I have a fiance now. She's this wonderful woman, but she's just all of a sudden been struck down with depression, anxiety, insomnia. She's had to give up her job. My church can't help me, but I know River Church can. And will you help me? And someone my husband Jonathan works with, again, a gentleman in his late 50s, came to him recently and said that his mother-in-law was terminally ill with leukemia and said, would you, Jonathan and Kerry, pray for her and go talk with her? Because I know that you can help her. And I just think that is a great reputation for us in River Church to have, to be known as a people who hold out hope because we know that God is good and we walk with him as our loving Father. I so want River Church to be a well of healing in our community. Personally, I'm absolutely fascinated by the subject of healing. On the one hand, it's something that seems like it should be really straightforward. And on the other hand, it seems fraught with uncertainty. And if I dare say it, a little unreliability at times. The starting point in my own life with this fascination with healing is an unanswered prayer. 20 years ago, our first son, Ryan, was born. He was born with acute myeloid leukemia. Despite our best prayers, the best prayers of River Church and others, he died at 8 days old. And from that moment, I've just been wrestling with healing, knowing God has something for us and that we need to press into it. And what I have this morning to share with you is the honest story of my journey in this whole healing thing. And what I really just want to do is to try and share with you the heart of some of the things that I've learnt along the way in my journey with God. I've seen some amazing things happen, and I've seen things that have been unanswered, as I'm sure all of us have. 11 years ago, I went to Bethel Church in Redding, in California, and I experienced the presence of God and the healing of God there like I never have done before. And I just stood there and thought, I want that here. It's the same God. I want that same God able to work with power in our church, in our communities. And that was and still is my quest. So I don't have a mighty healing ministry, not yet. Just watch. And this morning, I might well leave you with more questions than answers. But what I really want to do is just share some things that I think are helpful and some things that I think are unhelpful, and encourage you to purposefully go on a journey with God into this realm of supernatural living so that we can be people who bring the miraculous power of Jesus into our world. So, I think Jesus is a good place to start. And I think there can be little doubt that Jesus actually was quite good at healing. Now, I've got some scriptures coming up here. And Terry did this in Maidenhead on Sunday. And I thought it was really great. I'm nicking your idea. Let's say these scriptures together. Let's say the word of God together and engage with what's going on. So, here's the first one. Are you ready? And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Everyone who met Jesus was healed. I find that inspiring. I find it encouraging. And I also find it challenging. I'd like my life to be like that. Yeah, wouldn't you like yours to be like that? Yeah. That was Jesus, but even after Jesus had died and gone to heaven and all that, his followers carried that on. So we read this in Acts, all together. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Isn't that fantastic? Healing, healing, and more healing. I think I've just gone, there we go. I went ahead of myself. Here's another one. This is the disciples. Let's say it together. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. They were all healed. I love that. Jesus' command to us was to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And what did he command us to do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have skin diseases, drive out demons. And he gave us a stunning promise. Let's read it. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, and even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. Isn't that amazing? And in 1 John it says, as he is, we also are in this world. So where does that leave us? Well, it leaves me in a bit of an uncomfortable position. I don't actually think I'm left with a lot of choice. I think that Jesus wants me to go and heal people in his name. I can ignore that. I can be frightened of it. I can choose not to do it, and he will still love me utterly. But I think that he wants me to go and reach people with his love in this way. I think there's a commission in that for us, and I think there's a destiny. I don't know about you, but I want to walk into my destiny in Jesus. In this job that I do, I come into contact with so many hurting people all the times, so I'm sure you do. And my heart cry is to see the love and power of God changing their circumstances. I want them to see that God is real, that God is good, and that he cares for them. And if I can show him in any way to them, I want to. There's a verse that has really motivated me in this. We can say this one together. This is Jesus speaking. Father, I have manifested who you really are, and I have revealed you to the men and women you gave to me. Who has God given to you? Who has God given to me? Men and women who he wants us to manifest who he really is to and reveal him to. So this morning I just have a I've actually got five short thoughts. They're really short thoughts. One's a bit longer. That things that I've just learned along the way as I've gone on this journey. And you can just pick at them and see what Holy Spirit wants to say to you. But where I just want to start is just really quickly just to say, healing. What is healing? Let's just get that right. If you look at it in the dictionary, to cause a wound, injury, or person to become sound or healthy again. So that's physical, but it's mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual. Jesus came to heal the whole person. Who here knows that Jesus has healed them emotionally, spiritually, or mentally? Are you here in this room? You know Jesus has met you. Sozo is a fantastic example of Jesus meeting people in those realms. If you haven't had a Sozo, who's had a Sozo here? They're great, aren't they? For me, it was like my shack moment with God. It was amazing. If you haven't had one, go get one. Go get one. Jesus wants to meet with you. And in fact, healing often isn't instant, though we read about it a lot in the Bible as having been instant. It can be gradual. That story I told you about the gentleman who turned up on our doorstep at Christmas about his fiancée, who was in a real old state. I spent time with her week after week after week, just praying with her, just hearing her. And she went back to work in September. Healed, confident. It was amazing to watch God at work. That was gradual, but God did it. And in fact, she said to me, you know, I want to go back to the person I used to be. I want to be that person again. She's not. She's a completely different person who God has transformed. He is amazing. So let's get on to some five short thoughts. Here we go. My five short thoughts, I put short to give you hope. I wanted to just touch on intimacy with God. Identity, mindset, disappointment, that'll be a long thought, not a short thought, and boldness. Okay. So, I just want to pray actually before I do them. Can I just pray that Holy Spirit will speak what he wants to say to you this morning? Okay, let's just take a moment. Yeah, Father God, I don't want to rabbit on and give all my lovely thoughts and opinions. Holy Spirit, I want you to speak. Holy Spirit, I pray that for every person in this room, you'll whisper to them what you have for them, how you want to transform them, change them, bring them revelation of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's plow on. Okay, first one is intimacy with God. There's a scripture that I've kind of been living with, which says, Jesus talks in John 14, and it says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. I think that was quite interesting. I've pondered that. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. So if Jesus has commanded me to go heal the sick, raise the dead, loving him is the key in that. It's about walking continually in that deep, personal relationship with him, not being a Sunday Christian, but actually having an ongoing relationship. That's another talk. I'm really passionate about that. I'll just get off that subject right now. But if healing is who Jesus was and where he is, healing is, and he's alive today, we believe that, right? As we allow Jesus to live fully within us, as we have that connection going on with him, then where we are, he is, and he brings his healing. He brings his peace. He brings his presence, his love, his joy. A vibrant, healthy, living relationship with God is so key to our lives and key in this area of healing. And I think we need to take it seriously and invest in it. Invest in whatever way works for us in that relationship with God. He longs for us to know us and for us to know him. And everything flows from that. Here's a scripture we can say. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Kinda says it in a nutshell. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from you. So that's my first thought, just something I've pondered and realized along the way. That union with him is so important for us to live in, enjoy, and walk in. The second short thought was identity. And this has been a massive shift for me in recent years. One of the verses I love is from Colossians, and it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That verse absolutely blows my mind. Christ in you. Christ lives in every single one of you. Just absorb that. Holy Spirit lives in you. That is amazing. And do you know what? The enemy wants to squash that. He wants to make that ineffective. He wants to make us unable to live in that. But the truth is, we are filled with Jesus. Where we go, we take him. Here's another great verse. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. I love that. Do you get that? The entire fullness of God's nature dwells in Christ, and you're filled with Christ. The entire fullness of God's nature is in us. Isn't that just extraordinary? So when we're praying for people, when we're wanting to see breakthrough in situations, we're not just praying words and sticking in Jesus' name on the end and hoping for the best. Actually, what we're doing is we can pray out of that deep sense of identity, of who we are, that inward transforming identity and understanding of it. And that grows through our intimacy with Jesus, which was point one. Tied with this is our mindset, short thought number three. How are we going to think? What are we going to believe? I don't know about you, but my mind seriously gets in the way. My mind is very reasoning, and it keeps me from faith so often in this area. Again, a key verse for me over the years has been this one from Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. I need my mind transforming. And again, that comes through intimacy with him, spending time with him in his word, allowing him to change me in my thinking and in my beliefs. Hebrews 12 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And this whole thing of healing, that is just so important, to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the one who's coming. Jesus is the one who is the healer. And we need to fix our eyes on him and not the problem. I said this when I went to Marlow. For 4 years, I ran and was part of the Healing on the Streets team in Maidenhead. And we'd go out and we'd offer to pray for people monthly, whatever they wanted. And somehow, some things felt easier than others. But as I said, I'd stand on the street and we'd just be chatting and offering to pray with people. And at the corner of my eye, I'd see somebody coming in a wheelchair or on a mobility scooter. And I'd think, oh dear, that's the get up and walk moment. And somehow, because my eyes are on the problem, my faith begins to slip. But you know what? Jesus is the same Jesus. A headache, a mobility problem, a backache, a disease, they're all the same to Jesus. And in those moments, I've had to try and learn to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, worshipping him, bringing his presence into the situation, looking at him and not at the problem. We began Healing on the Streets about 4 or 5 years ago. Our very first outing was at the very first Larchfield Festival. We were all new at it, weren't we, Colin? A bit nervous, I was. And the very first person we prayed for was a young boy called Dylan, who had fallen off his bike and he'd hurt his leg. And he went, yeah, okay, come on, you can pray for me if you want to. So we did. And his eyes went wide and he went, oh my God, it's worked. It's gone. And he started running around the field. Now, I might sound like a very spiritual person up here, but I wanted to run around after him going, oh my God, it's worked. I was so shocked, honestly so shocked. And I was supposed to be leading the Healing on the Streets team. But it is that thing, isn't it, about keeping our minds in check, keep our expectations, keeping our eyes fixed on our good God. Feeding our minds and our spirits with stories of healing, of what God's doing, hearing what Colin's been saying about what's going on in Wales. Feeding ourselves so that becomes normal, not what we live in as becomes normal, because what we live in isn't. The spiritual realm, what God has to bring for us is the normal he wants for us. I've also had to deal with the thought, yeah, well, I prayed for that last time for somebody and it didn't happen. It won't happen this time. That's a real thought that can get in our heads. This isn't a science experiment. Yeah? Just because it didn't happen last time doesn't mean it's not going to happen this time. Okay? God wants to move in a fresh way every time. Okay, my fourth short thought that's not a short thought, it's a longer thought. Disappointment. So, could you put your hands up if you know that you've been healed by Jesus when you were prayed for? Praise God. Do you want to put your hands down? Can you put your hands up if you were prayed for and you didn't seem to be healed in that moment? Okay. Can you put your hand up if you've prayed for somebody and it doesn't seem like they've been healed? There we go. And there are people here today who are waiting for healing in situations that they have. That's hard, isn't it? Let's be really honest. That's really tough. How are we going to deal with it? Alan Scott, who leads a church in Coleraine, where Healing on the Streets originated from, said this: resist the temptation to build your theology around your hurts and your disappointments. That's really interesting, isn't it? Because when we get hurt and disappointed, it's very tempting to think, that's where my belief's going to be. Resist that temptation. I mentioned at the start about my son, Ryan, who died 20 years ago when he was 8 days old. 2 years later, my sister had her first child, a little girl. She had a really difficult labour. There were horrible complications. And Hannah, her little girl, was born. And she was told she wouldn't live. She was told to come say goodbye to her because she wasn't going to live. My mum rang me and she said, "You've got to pray." I was at home and just inside me erupted this thing I've never really felt before, which was just, the enemy is not doing that in my family again. And I stormed around the lounge, praying like I've never prayed before. And others prayed too. And her church prayed and our church prayed. And my niece, my sister's daughter, Hannah, lived. The doctors wrote miracle on her notes. Her name is Hannah, which means gift from God. And she really was a gift from God. She's incredibly bright, healthy, absolutely no side effects. Has just won a scholarship to a NASA college. God was amazing. But can you imagine where that left me? Okay, so God didn't heal and save my child. But he did heal and save my sister's child. That's a very real place for us to be, isn't it, as we walk through life. What are we going to do with that? How are we going to respond to that? We cannot allow ourselves to become bitter, to become jealous, to dwell on the disappointment, because our hearts become hard and unbelief sets in. God wants us to have soft hearts and to walk with him. Somebody said, celebrate with those who are rejoicing and it opens doors for you. If you close your heart off to that and become jealous, you build a brick wall. I think that's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, like you, I've had loads of disappointments. My son Ryan, my lovely friend Rachel Jameson, who my daughter's named after, who died from breast cancer. Our friends Paul and Sarah Derias, their son Josh. My close friend Gemma. For 4 years, I walked with Gemma. I did everything. She's my age, had ovarian cancer. I did everything I knew to do. I prayed with her. I prayed for her. I got intercessors praying for her. I went to healing rooms for her. I took her to healing conferences. I gave her healing cloths, healing scriptures, books, tapes, talked to her, prayed over her, did everything. She became a Christian twice. I did everything. Everything that I possibly could do. I even went to a healing conference and stood next to her with Bill Johnson, where she was not healed and I was healed of sinusitis. How bizarre is that? It's crazy. People on the streets, over healing on the streets for 4 years. People who haven't been healed. But what am I going to do with that? The enemy wants me to give up. He wants you to give up. He doesn't want us to press into what God wants for us. Bill Johnson says, what if the 100th person you pray for is your breakthrough person and you give up at 99? Oh my goodness, I can't be that person. So with disappointments, with hurts, I need to go to God with them. I need to go to God and let him meet me in them. We live in the now and the not yet. You've probably heard that phrase before. It's such a real tension. The kingdom of God has come, but not fully. We live in this place where we seek the kingdom of God breaking through in miracles and healing, but not fully. But I picture us as gateways to heaven. I love what it says in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And I see us like gates, like doorways for the kingdom of heaven to come through, the King of glory to come through and meet this world in a very real way. And sometimes we break through and sometimes we don't. But I am not going to give up. Because as time goes by, the kingdom is extended more and more and more on this planet until the end of the age where God comes with a new heaven and a new earth and he is at the center. And until then, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing on and not give in. No matter what happens, we live within an unchangeable truth. And this is it. Maybe we could say this together. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. That's what we live within. God loves us and we will always be with him. Many of you will have heard of Rick Warren, who leads a mega church in California called Saddleback Church. He's written The Purpose Driven Life. He's that chappy. I can see nods. In 2013, his youngest son, who was a Christian, age 27, committed suicide as a result of his intense, relentless, and lifelong battle with depression. Rick Warren wrote about the experience, and he talked about grief, and he said this: the third phase of grief is what I call struggle. All the why questions. The biggest one for me is, why didn't you answer the prayer I prayed every day for 27 years? The prayer I prayed more than any other prayer went unanswered. But explanations never comfort. What you need in a tragedy is not an explanation. You need the presence of God. Then you come to the stage of surrender. Surrender is when you say, I'd rather live and walk with God and have my questions unanswered than have all of my questions answered and not walk with God. And that, I think, has to be the framework that we put around us. I'd rather live and walk with God and not have my questions answered than not live and walk with God. Before our son Ryan was born and died, I actually had two miscarriages. The first one was completely out of the blue. We went for a scan and the baby was dead. Jonathan and I went back to our flat and we put some worship music on and we just knelt and worshipped God. I don't tell you that to tell you how super spiritual I am. I am very, very far from that. But worshipping God was all we needed to do in that moment. We didn't know what else there was. In fact, little did we know how much more heartache there was to come for us along that road. But I know that in that moment, that was a key moment for us in loving and serving God. And I don't think either of us would be here today if we hadn't done that. Because somehow in that moment, turning to God is what kept bitterness and resentment and disappointment at bay. I think we need to deal with disappointment. It's so real to feel it, but we have to choose not to live in it, not to let our hearts go hard, not to allow it to affect our futures. We need to go to God with it, wrestle honestly with it, repent of it. I think we need to repent of it and push through to the other side of a soft heart and a surrender to God, no matter what happens. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, his unfailing love for you will never change. Please get prayer today if disappointment is something you'd like to be free from. My fifth short thought is a short thought. Boldness. We need to take risks. We just need to get out of our comfort zones and do it. We just have to get over that being scared to pray in case nothing happens. Do you know what? Nothing might happen, but way more likely is that the person who you've just prayed for will be so touched that you cared enough to offer them prayer. I was walking through Nicholson's Walk quite a few years ago in Maidenhead, and there was a little Asian girl sitting on a bench, three or four, with two hearing aids in, with her mum. And as I walked past, my heart went out to her, and I just thought, gosh, that is so sad, isn't it? And I carried on walking. And I got round the corner, and I just felt like Holy Spirit said, why don't you go and pray for her? And out of me came, yes, but, and you know, yeah, and I'm in a hurry, and they're in a hurry, and anyway, they're not the same religion, and it'll be weird. And by the time I'd argued that through with God and gone, oh, all right, I'll do it, and gone back, she'd gone. I have never forgotten that moment. What might have happened? I missed it because I was too scared. Do you know what? I lived in fear for most of my life. Most of my life I lived in fear as a scared person. You might look up here and think that's nonsense, but it's absolutely true. Afraid of being conspicuous, of getting things wrong, of what people would think of me, afraid of taking risks, afraid of, you name it, that was me. And one day, in a light bulb moment, I realized fear does not come from God. If fear doesn't come from God, where does it come from? It comes from the enemy who wants to stop you from doing whatever God's put before you. So if you feel God say to do something and you feel afraid, that's a green light to go and do it. Because you're about to walk into something God set up for you. If you feel fear, and we all do, and we go, ooh, I can't do that, the enemy's won. And in that light bulb moment, I vowed I would never not do something out of fear. Did that make sense? But actually, I would always press on. And if I was afraid, I would do it afraid. I'd do it anyway. And I'm here doing this today. And the stuff I do because of that very thing I've tried to live out. I am basically afraid. But I do stuff afraid because I know the enemy wants to stop me. And I am not going to be stopped. There you go. Boldness. Taking risks. So, the end of five short thoughts, four short thoughts and a long one. And here's my conclusion. If I pray for no one, no one gets healed. If I pray for someone, then someone might get healed. I'm not sure about the English, the grammar there, but never mind. God loves us passionately. God loves you passionately. And he wants us to know him. And he wants us to show him to the world around us. He loves to meet with us. And he loves to meet with others through us. And do you know what? It's a really fun adventure. It's not heavy. It's not burdensome. Why don't we enjoy exploring it with our God? As River Church, we want to be a place where people find healing. A place where God moves in the miraculous. We want to be a people who bring the kingdom of God to earth. That isn't going to happen unless we get bold, unless we throw off past disappointments and adventure deeper with God, both in our relationship with him and in reaching out to those around us in need. Remember that verse I showed you earlier. I have manifested who you really are. And I've revealed you to the men and women you gave to me. River Church, I just urge you, let's be people who live up to that. So, in Maidenhead, we like to give Monday morning takeaways to everybody. What are you going to do with this on Monday morning? That's what you're going to do on Monday morning. You're going to keep calm and you're just going to go for it. Ask God each morning for an opportunity to connect with someone, to bless them. Bless people everywhere you go. Have that frame of mind of wherever I go today and I meet people, I'm going to bless them. And be brave when people mention needs for healing. Go for it. Mark Marks says, pray your best prayer. Pray your best prayer. And leave it up to God to touch that person. I don't want this morning just to be about me talking. I'd like us to do as well. It would be really great to pray for healing for people. So in a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask for you to indicate if you have a need for healing. And if you do, we're all going to stand. I'm going to ask people around you to gather around you. And I want us to pray for one another. I'm no different to all the rest of you. This is something we're pushing into. So let's gather around one another and pray. I just want you to pray really simple, short prayers. It doesn't have to be complicated. You're commanding healing in Jesus' name. He's given you that gift and authority. Tell the sickness to go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do that for a short while. Then we're just going to take a check, and I'm going to ask if there's been improvement, and then we're going to keep praying. So, are you up for that? Okay, so where's the band? Oh, they're there, right in the front row. Hello, band. They're going to come up, and they're just going to play for us in the background and lead us in some worship as well. So, now, why don't we all, well, hands up first. Who here has a need that they would like prayer for this morning? Okay, can we see those hands, everybody? Okay, right. Clock those hands. What I'd like you to do is we're all going to stand and move to those people and gather around those people and let's start praying. So get to the people. Everybody, we need to stand and wriggle around and move a bit. Hands up high if you're a person. Stand on a chair if you can stand on a chair. Okay, so just quickly find out what the matter is. We don't need a 10-minute conversation. Just really quickly find out what is the need that you have for healing. Have you done that? Do you all know what you're praying for? Okay, right. Lay hands on the person. Take it in turns if you want to. Pray a healing over that person right now. Pray your best prayer.